Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay Noon,
and Joa.
And we have a lot of things to talk about tonight. Apparently there's a new movie out that could be some predictive programming from the Illuminati. I'm just kidding. I just kind of made that up. But Joe wants to talk about that. Barack Obama apparently funded a movie.
Yeah, interesting.
And we have news about a Harvard professor who secretly impregnated someone. We have news about Mickey Mouse will soon be not under copyright. So, you know, after Scooby-Doo stopped being under copyright, people made, like, dirty cartoons with Scooby-Doo. Like, it was free reign for anybody to use their images. So that kind of stuff will probably start happening with Mickey Mouse. And that'll probably be pretty entertaining. I mean, I thought that Scooby-Doo movie or show was so stupid. I watched one episode with Ian. I can't remember what it's called. It has Mindy Kaling, and I don't know who else in it. And it was,
sure,
like, trying to be kind of like a Family Guy, but with the Scooby-Doo characters. And
interesting.
It was so, like, woke and stupid. It wasn't funny at all.
Oh, yeah, I think I have seen...
Oh, you did?
...of it, yeah.
Velma.
Like a cartoon?
Yeah, it's like an adult cartoon.
Yeah, so it's definitely adult-oriented.
Yeah, so, like, Velma is the star of the show, the most annoying character.
And is this where she's, like, attracted to women?
Maybe. I honestly don't remember that part. I think so. I actually think you're right, but I barely remember.
I let my kids watch a little bit of a couple of, you know, appropriate cartoons. I'm like, oh, Scooby-Doo's cool. And, you know, we have a projection monitor.
I love Scooby-Doo, like the regular one.
And so it was like, I guess it's a newer age, but definitely like Velma's like, I think it's Velma. That character is like attracted to the villain woman.
Even in the kids' Scooby-Doo show?
Yep. And that's weird. And she, like, starts blushing. Like, the villain, I don't know, I'm pretty sure it was, like, an episode, a show, but, like, the villain is, like, some girl, and, you know, she's obviously, you know, an attractive, you know, good-looking girl, and, like, every time Velma, like, sees her, she starts, like, blushing and looking, you know, obviously she has, like, you know, she's crushing on this girl, and I'm like, ah, they're going to shut this garbage off.
I mean, that's kind of weird. Like, I would say the same thing about a straight couple in Scooby-Doo. Like, they don't do that with, like, Daphne and Fred kind of seem to be together, but they don't show, like, Daphne blushing looking at Fred. You know? Like, that's a little weird.
The older ones are, like, a little more wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
so. Better. Oh, my God. Like, the first season of Scooby-Doo with, like, that haunted mansion on the island. I don't remember what else, but I got it on DVD one year and watched it with my friends for Halloween, like, 3 years ago. It's so good. Like, I would watch it again.
It's easy to really figure out who the bad guy is right at the beginning of all the shows. It's the one that always asserts authority. Can't speak.
Interesting,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the one that always seems to have the rules or the understanding of the place, the one that's asserting authority, is the culprit. They reveal the mask.
I'm definitely going to watch it again and see if I notice that. That's pretty interesting. But Mickey Mouse will soon belong to you and me with some caveats. This is from Fox59.com. It says, with several asterisks, I feel like I say that word wrong, several asterisks, qualification, and caveats, Mickey Mouse, in his earliest form, will be the leader of the band of characters, films, and books that will become public domain as the year turns to 2024. A moment may close observers. In a moment, many close observers thought might never come, at least one version of the quintessential piece of intellectual property, and perhaps the most iconic character in American pop culture, will be free from Disney's copyright as his first screen release, the 1928 short Steamboat Willie. Oh, yeah, I knew he was like Steamboat something, but I thought he was Steamboat Mickey. But yeah, so the original Mickey Mouse was called Steamboat Willie, featuring both Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, becomes available for public use. Quote, this is it. This is Mickey Mouse. This is exciting because it's kind of symbolic, said Jennifer Jenkins, a professor of law and director of Duke Center for the Study of Public Domain, who writes an annual January 1st column for Public Domain Day. As I guess a lot of things get stopping under copyright on January 1st every year for...
Right.
Whichever one's like 100 years
old.
It's
just interesting because, like, a lot of rappers use this, like, original OG footage.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, the videos.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe
it's really
just
strange.
Have to get permission or something.
Well, not anymore, because, like, it's of age.
Yeah, not anymore, but after 2024, it will be open for that. But you're saying people are already doing that?
Yeah, yeah. Like, Ghostmane, have you ever heard of him?
I've heard of him. I don't listen to rap, though.
I like it. It's kind of like a dark, kind of grungy rap. Weird. It's a weird genre. It's a really weird genre. But there's a music video called Mercury, and it's like he uses some of that stock footage and alters it for himself. So
I wonder if he... Wait, you're talking about specifically Mickey Mouse?
That time frame of footage from Disney.
Hmm.
Not the Mickey footage exactly, but that whole time frame. It's the same.
Maybe
like, year.
Because they've been getting extensions every year. Maybe other Disney stuff from that time already came of age for copyright. But they've tried as hard as they could to extend it for Mickey Mouse. It says the woman that from the study of the Public Domain Center says, I kind of feel like the pipe on the steamboat, like expelling smoke. It's so excited. What? That's so weird. That was such a weird thing to say. U.S. allows a copyright to be held for 95 years after Congress expanded it several times during Mickey's life. Quote, it's sometimes derisively referred to as the Mickey Mouse Protection Act, Jenkins said. That's oversimplified because it wasn't just Disney that was pushing for term extension. It was a whole group of copyright holders whose works were set to go into the public domain soon, who benefited greatly from the 20 years of extra protection, unquote. Here at Free Talk Live, I think most of us agree that copyright is kind of stupid. Like, I believe in property and ownership of property, but I don't think you can own an idea.
Yeah, the idea that you can own, you know, just a special combination of numbers or ideas and thoughts.
Shapes and
then
Mickey Mouse's.
Someone else, you know, expresses it. It's just like the very a good example of a victimless crime.
Yep.
You know, if you're going to, you know, play a, you know, an audio file or if you're going to read something or, you know, or whatever or express something that somebody else, you know, sort of, you know, made some kind of claim to. You know, it's just a protectionism racket.
Like, now, let me ask you about this. I was like, what if someone took your own footage and then alters it to misrepresent who you are and what you were saying? Is that okay?
I would think this is what we were talking about last night on the show. There needs to be more shunning and less laws. Like, I don't think that that's a good thing to do. Like, A&E, I think, wait, what is it called? Just this big news TV station. Or not news, but whatever. A big station, like TV channel, took Ian's footage of a Dick Marple court case, and I just randomly came across it. I was like, Ian, look at this video of Dick Marple. Like, have you seen this one? He's like, that's my footage. And they didn't credit Freakin'. They took it and they cut it up to make it look like stuff was happening that was not happening. Like they
so
tried.
So it's fair use. Like if they, yeah. So it's like if you use 14 seconds or less, it's considered.
No,
fair
it
use.
Was a whole long video.
Oh.
They just cut it up in a way that made it look like the judge was owning Dick Marple, and like it was so ridiculous. But it's not like Ian cares about copyright, so he wasn't gonna do anything about it. But I did copy or comment under their thing, like, why didn't you credit Freaking? Yeah.
Or but what you're saying, they chopped it all up in a way. No, that's misrepresenting the facts of right. what the original intention was. So it's like someone has to call them out for it.
Yeah,
like it's important to do that. And trust me, it's happened a lot to me.
I mean,
I bet it has.
You know, I like the idea of shaming. Like, there's people who are doing, you know, stupid things all the time, inflammatory things, damaging things. You know, like, for example, you have these, you know, social justice warrior types who will, like, you know, call DCYF on a family, for example.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
When, you know, just because either they're mad at them or even some of these people think they're helping, which is like, you know,
bad.
Very, you know, ridiculous. DCYF, yeah. You know, isn't going to help anybody. And if it's a bad situation and kids are actually being abused, you know, there's plenty of situations where DCYF's not interested because, you know, well, I'll just put it this way. Kids that are being abused and neglected, that are suffering real trauma, basically are not of any value in the adoption marketplace.
Hmm.
But I do like the idea of shaming. And because if, and especially if it can be on a level to where, like, the guy who owns, you know, the local grocery store sees, you know, this bad actor come in and says, no, get out of my store. I don't want you here.
Yep.
You know, there's a handful of people I'll refuse service just because of, you know, they've been bad actors. They've done inflammatory things, you know, to people. They've, you know, trying to incite, you know, others to, you know, pile up against, you know, certain people and stuff. And, but, you know, I'm not going to call the cops about it, you know. And even, like, there's actually a situation where this crazy old lady ripped down a bunch of my political signs a couple years ago, and I got it all on video, and I just...
You put it on the internet and put it on
Did you put it out there? No, I didn't see it.
I didn't put it out anywhere yet, but I did give it to a guy who he was going to make a video to, like, some, like, kind of, you know, heavy metal rage type, you know, music, and just kind of shame her. But, you know, I know I could totally have her charged with something.
That's actually a felony.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like that should be a felony, but it is. It's election tampering.
Well, I mean,
it's the most protected speech, right? Political free speech.
But it's damaging of it's a trespass on property. You know, even though it was, you know, I don't know how much a sign cost or whatever. It took, you know, probably took me a half an hour.
You still owned it,
put it together, but the, you know, and with intellectual property, like when they take this stuff and, you know, some organization, you know, manipulates, you know, the video so you look bad, you just kind of have to counter that with,
right.
you know, with
your
something,
own speech.
With, you know, with your own thing. And, a lot of these, like, news agencies anyways, and, you know, outfits that do that kind of stuff, they have no credibility. As far as I'm concerned. And when people do things like that, they have no credibility. So the idea is you just got to shame them and attack their credibility, or just ignore it. And, you know.
Yeah. And if you ignore it and not that many people are seeing it, that might be your best bet. But we do seem to have a call. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name and what's your topic?
This is Graham Sporton, and I'm calling you about cannabis. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
How's it going, Graham?
It sounds like you have the radio in the background. You might want to turn that off, or maybe you're on speaker, because now I'm hearing my voice back.
Hey, you know what's happening with me? This is horrible. My iPhone, I don't know how to use it properly. I'll hear it. What happens is...
That sounds better.
Yeah, it's better.
I switch it out, and then I can't get back to the phone. I just figured it out, so...
Well,
I'm good now. Sorry.
What did you want to talk about, Graham? It's okay.
All right, so here's what's happening in New Hampshire. I do a lot of paying attention to what's going on with the cannabis situation in New Hampshire. And there's a couple of things going on. First of all, I'm very upset that people aren't upset. Because, you know, currently, if you're a patient and you have a back problem or something, and you go to your doctor in New Hampshire, we have a medical cannabis program here in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
the doctor
it's expensive.
Has to make sure he gives you opiates first. So New Hampshire is making sure people are getting opiates before anything. And we know that the opiates through the pharmaceutical companies are largely responsible for a lot of the problems in the big cities in Boston and Philadelphia and New York, every city, everything out west. Opiates are a huge problem. So why is New Hampshire feeding this beast?
There might be a different way around that, though, because I actually got a medical marijuana card. Ian, my husband, and I both did. But we have diagnosed PTSD. So maybe it's like there's specific, some specific orders you don't need that, because it's not about pain. It's about sleeping at night.
No, I'm saying specifically for pain. If you have,
it's
for patients who are looking for pain relief.
That's crazy. So they're willing to risk your life instead of, so you have to risk your life. Then if it doesn't work for you and you're not addicted,
you
qualify.
So what do you have to say about that, Jim?
Well, so a couple of things. If people want internet search, Matt Gaetz, so he's congressman, I believe he's congressman from Florida. Quite recently, Matt Gaetz very much grilled the director or the head or somebody from the DEA who's like a very high up. And he was talking about, fentanyl is not like on a Schedule One, but marijuana is a Schedule One. And I could have that a little wrong, what I just said, but definitely marijuana is still like Schedule One. And he was talking about, like, with his, you know, DEA woman, I forget her name, I think she was like head of the DEA. And he was talking about how in states that have medical marijuana have extremely low opiate use. And he was talking about all these studies, and the DEA woman, you know, she's just, you know, clearly like bought and paid for by, you know, the drug cartel, which is essentially Big Pharma. And she was like, oh, well, you know, we haven't got there yet and we haven't looked into it. But just everybody should check it out. Matt Gaetz, DEA, marijuana Schedule One. So but there's a lot of evidence, like one of the things in Colorado, like Colorado is one of the first states to, like, you know, do medical and then recreational.
Mm-hmm.
And like the opiate use, like, really dropped off. But the states where they don't have medical marijuana, the opiate use is very, very high. Now, with respect to New Hampshire, you know, if you pay attention to what Mike Gill has been saying, so Mike Gill has a YouTube channel called State of Corruption NH, or NH State of Corruption, and he talks about how like New Hampshire is basically like ground zero for the OPO.
And he had called in last week, too.
Yeah, he called in last week for, like, the opiate.
That was crazy.
Opiate, you know, importing or distribution and fentanyl. And
the shell companies to funnel the money.
Yeah, so New Hampshire has this thing called the New Hampshire Trust, or New Hampshire Trust Bank, or Bank Trust or something. And so there's Jean Shaheen, who I believe is a U.S. senator, and her husband is, like, some, like, uber-corrupt, like, lawyer. And all lawyers are basically corrupt, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
They're just evil, horrible people.
Well, if they're not an evil person, I just think they don't have the right incentives. Like, they work for the courts.
Right.
I think some try, but it's like a messed up system.
Yeah, and even the ones who, like the real estate attorneys I've noticed are actually, like, pretty honest. When it comes to, like, things. But, like, the criminal defense.
I'm a big Aaron Brockovich fan.
Aaron Brockovich and who's JFK. That? Aaron Brockovich was, like, an environmental, you know, type lawyer.
Mm.
There was a movie about her that was actually, part of it was filmed right down the road where I grew up.
Oh, she's from New Hampshire?
Palmer. No. Massachusetts. Palmer, Massachusetts. I don't know where Aaron Brockovich is from, but the movie, part of the, and Aaron Brockovich wasn't there in that movie, in that filming. But anyways, I can't remember what that movie was. It was called Aaron Brockovich, I guess. But
Mystic River.
Mystic River?
Oh, maybe that's what it was. It was about some kind of, you know, chemical, you know, waste dump, like, manufacturing facility somewhere around Boston.
And they wanted to protect the ducks.
Graham, did you have anything else you wanted to add? I want to keep you on if you don't have anything else you wanted to say.
I can go away, but...
No.
Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant I didn't want to waste your time.
Graham,
like,
don't you do this on a daily... You have news on a daily?
New Hampshire is, we have a lot of people talking about rescheduling. And rescheduling, New Hampshire's okay for it, but the states who have legal cannabis programs, it might be really bad for them. The rescheduling also is interesting for the Delta 8 and Delta 10 piece. So that might be actually very bad for local economies.
But did you know...
Very invested.
last legislative session, a state rep from Ringe named Matt Santodisasso put in a bill to just get rid of, to unadopt the schedule. And, you know, marijuana would just be, you know, tomatoes at that point. I think that was, that's the smartest idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised that people aren't able to put together a class action suit because there's so much evidence that shows that the farce of the scheduling is as farce. I mean,
well, the state has to make money somehow.
The past 2 or 3 years, there's been so many things, you know, medical wise. One of the pieces of that is that it has no medical application. The other one is that it's wildly addictive. You pointed out that the states where medical or legal cannabis actually is even available, those states have a much lower opiate problem, as do they have problems with kids using cannabis. If you ever use in an area where legal cannabis is available, what the studies are saying, that kids don't use cannabis as much. If they do, not more than they would otherwise compared to states that don't have it. And that's probably because nobody wants to do what their moms are doing.
Yeah, I know. I think about that sometimes. Like when you had friends when you were younger, or you were a kid whose mom like smoked weed openly around you, or dad, it wasn't as interesting and cool to you. You weren't like... Right. Wanting to sneak it as much.
You'd be
like,
you weren't curious about it. You knew about it.
Yeah. That's just the case, it seems. I mean, obviously, a lot of them.
So I moved to Colorado in 2013. And I think right about, it was like, or very shortly after I moved there, recreational became legal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a little brother and sister that grew up there in Colorado. And so I lived there from like mid 2013 to end of 2016. And then, you know, my little brother and sister, I, you know, talk to them and stuff, and they just like, they're not into it at all. None of their friends are into it. They think it's stupid, you know, and it's just like it had no sex appeal to like those kids, and like and they are all, they're also like kids that are into like, you know, sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of got to, you know, going to watching all the sports ball games that they would do when I was out there. I got, you know, to sort of know. And yeah, the kids are definitely in Colorado, from what I could tell, most of them were just not interested in. In fact, what they were way more interested in was drinking.
Hmm. Oh, well, that kind of sucks. Well,
it's illegal. When they tell you no is when you want to do it more.
Yeah, I mean, it's still legal for kids to drink, so that's, you know.
And they're going
to
get it. Actually, I think when they get it, they're like, they're sneakier about it. They get away with it harder.
Yeah, they want to drink way more and have alcohol poisoning because they don't have
to. Oh, it's just rare. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You see everyone else doing it.
The way you're describing kids in Colorado where they grew up that, the state that they lived in, marijuana was legal. It's so different from when I was in middle school and high school in Texas, where it's really illegal. So it was like this mysterious, amazing thing. Everybody was like, oh my God, let's do it again. You know?
Graham, you have a daily news. Can you tell us what it is?
Well, today's news is actually all kinds of news.
Well, quickly drop it.
If you don't mind, I'm going to put you on hold. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
U.S. USA News update. Senators are set to return to Capitol Hill next week to engage in ongoing bipartisan discussions on border policy and aid for Ukraine. Originally slated for a holiday recess at the end of this week, lawmakers have opted to remain in town to advance negotiations and reach a deal before the year's end. President Biden is urging Israel to exercise greater caution in its attacks on Hamas.
I want them to be focused on how to save civilian lives, not stop going after Hamas, but be more careful.
His remarks today follow recent comments to donors where he expressed concern about Israel's indiscriminate bombing and noted a decline in global support for Israel. For those prioritizing affordability in their retirement destination, Ohio may be an attractive option. Youngstown, Ohio has been identified as the most affordable place to retire in the U.S., according to U.S. News and World Report. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation with us, like our last caller did. And I just wanted to shout out his daily marijuana news show.
Cannabis.
Cannabis.
Marijuana is like a dirty word to me.
Well, okay. It's the Wash Daily, like Wash Your Clothes, by Joey Slicks. That's going to be S-L-L-I-K-S. And if you want to check out his daily cannabis show, I forgot for a second which one he said was bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool show. It's just a small couple of minutes, you know. And
that's crazy to do a daily show
for
anything. Even
for
if it's
years, he's
minutes.
Been doing this daily.
It's
and
really awesome.
He also has another radio show, too. It's called Smoke and Herb.
A radio show?
Yeah. He's trying to get that bigger and bigger, but he's had some really pretty interesting guests on there.
He's doing, like, pirate radio?
No.
Oh.
No, this is
Well,
it's
I
on,
think that's illegal, right? I probably shouldn't have asked.
It's
I
on, like, Motherload.tv or something like that.
Interesting.
So it is, like, an official
Internet
podcast.
Internet radio?
Yeah.
Interesting. Very cool.
Yeah.
But with you in the studio tonight at Free Talk Live, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Joa.
And 603-283-6160. That's the number you can call to get in on the conversation with us. But first, I want to tell you about Dash. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, and it seriously is right now, because it's like going to be like $10 sometimes for, or at least like $5 right now for sending Bitcoin.
Wow.
I don't even know what's up, but it says, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. And a big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's dash.org. Before we got a call in the last segment, because on Free Talk Live you can call in and change the subject with whatever you want to talk about, we were talking about this article from Fox59.com. And they're telling us that Mickey Mouse will soon belong to you and me with some caveats, meaning their 95-year copyright claim has run out. But we haven't really gotten into the caveats, so I'm interested to know. They have, like, big lobbyists, I guess, or I don't know if that's what you'd call them, but they have lawyers that have been, you know, giving them the ability to extend and extend their copyright claim, and also...
Yeah, but I feel like if anyone were to rip off Mickey Mouse and do something different with it, it's like, we would know. We kind of would know.
Right.
Right? Because you can't steal a Disney logo. You can't... We'll know.
And even if you could, like... Who cares? I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to be making something that's so great that nobody's going to buy Disney movies anymore. And Disney's
Well, see, this is the thing. I don't know if Disney even is considering the lawyer fees in this, or whatever it might take to fight it. But Disney is going broke because they've gone woke, and now they go broke. They've gone woke on all their crap recently.
Are they really going broke? I mean,
that's they lost a lot of money on their recent films, and... Now that they're, like, in touch with Marvel, I think it is, like, they're hurting. They're hurting.
Their stock has fallen. They've had a tremendous drop in, like, subscriptions to, like, Disney or Disney Plus or something.
I don't know. I don't know that I think they're going to be broke. Why would they still be around?
And the state of Florida going after them for their utilities of sorts, their roads and... Yep. And infrastructures.
After
that's
Disney
really
World.
Bad too. That's like another whammy on the side of them. I don't know. Disney is gonna like. There's something gonna happen to it, but who knows?
I can't say I care much.
If you there's this guy Sheriff Judd. I don't know what county.
Is he Sheriff Judd Apatow? That guy, or is he a good guy? Because the guy I'm talking about is bad.
Oh, you're thinking of Joe Arpaio.
Oh, okay.
This is in Florida. I don't know what county, you know, is right there where Disney is, but that Sheriff Judd, he does these press releases that are pretty entertaining where he's like, well, we've got these pedophiles, and of course they're working for Disney, he says. They're always, and
this is,
it's real news?
Oh, yeah. Whoa. So, Sheriff Judd something, I forget his name, but he's an interesting fella, and I really can't say anything bad about the guy because I've never heard him like report on like some victimless crime. It's always like, you know, some like a child molester or somebody who's like murdering people.
So he got in trouble for defamation because he made it sound like
Disney.
Someone that they arrested was actually doing something bad and they weren't. But there wasn't it wasn't like, you know, Disney related. But he's gotten in trouble for his betrayal of the facts and that sort of thing. So he needs to be careful. But I think he's
so,
being better.
So he might embellish a little bit because he's a very entertaining storyteller. Like, listening to his stuff is pretty entertaining.
It's a pretty bad idea, though, to embellish stuff that could get you sued.
It definitely sensationalizes the
by putting situations. But he's definitely mentioned many times.
Yeah.
Like, well, this guy's a pedophile, and he works for Disney.
Like, but one Disney, of the characters walk around the park in a Mickey Mouse costume hugging kids or something?
I have no idea what the role is, but if you're a pedophile, you know, if you are a predator, like, you know, just like we've said before, DCYF, for example, is, you know, a very, very attractive place for child predators because you get qualified immunity, because all the cases are sealed. You know, they're just very hard to investigate, and then, like, you can, like... And another thing, too, with child protection services is when kids run away, they don't report them as runaways.
What do they do?
They just don't do anything. They don't report them as runaways.
You got to look. You got to go to Lost and Found. Disney.
Disney World specifically. Sorry, I thought you were saying DCYF.
I'm just saying DCYF. But,
in Disney, right?
But no. Well, I'm just saying, like child protection services, if you are, you know, if you're a predator, that's like an ideal place for you to work if you're a child predator.
They just take the kid and don't report, we found this kid.
So when kids go missing that are under in care of child protective services, they do not report kids that go missing because they claim they're a runaway.
Oh, like, from their own services, like from foster parent's house.
Correct.
I thought you were talking about Disney for a second, because, like, if a kid goes missing at Disney World, right, they don't report this to the police. They report this only to their own security.
Whoa.
But it's so big that, you know, this is where the state's going to come in and probably utilize and have police officers throughout the whole park now.
Did you guys know that Disneyland and World are both really haunted because of many deaths that have happened there? And also, apparently there's this thing that they have a huge problem with. They have to clean, like, there's like a man-made river in each of them. They have to clean it deeply once a year because so many parents come take their kids' ashes and spread it in the rivers at Disney World.
Ew.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea. And it's like man-made.
Why would you bring it there?
So they have to go get, they have a policy, I guess, like, do not bring your children's ashes and come spread them at Disney World.
Wow.
But we have a caller. Gigi in South Carolina, what's on your mind? Oh. I'm sorry about that. I clicked the wrong button, Gigi. You can go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi, Gigi.
Good evening.
I got another letter from Ian.
Yay. Oh, I didn't know he wrote you twice.
Yes. It's so wonderful reading his letters. God bless him. He's positive. He's upbeat. He maintains a wonderful, meaningful, purposeful routine, and I'm so proud of him.
Aw, thank you so much, Gigi. Yeah, he's definitely staying busy, and just right before the show, I was on the phone with him, and I got to let our friend who was here fixing my dryer talk to him, and he hadn't talked to him yet, and he's like, well, I'm so glad to hear your voice, Ian, because you sound really positive. You don't sound...
Yes,
upset.
And I love reading his letters because, like me, he's very passionate about politics and international affairs. And he writes a lot of his opinions about the Holocaust and what's happening in Gaza with Israel. And it is so nice to correspond with somebody with intelligence.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
And that's my news. That's fit to print. My birthday is this Saturday. I'm getting old.
Happy birthday, Gigi.
We're all getting old.
Yeah, every we moment. Are.
But I still look damn good.
All right.
Great.
You sound good.
Well,
thank you very much, everybody.
You too. Happy birthday.
Yeah, you have a good birthday, Gigi, and have a good night. We also have Tim in Florida on the line. Tim, what's on your mind?
Oh, man. Well, the first thing that was on my mind was I reached for my beer and it's out. So I got a warm one from the box.
Well, that sucked.
A warm one?
Yeah, but it's because I don't want to walk to the fridge because now I'm online. I'm on the radio, so I'm not going to walk to the fridge.
Oh, cheers.
Anyway, I've been listening to a LibriVox audio version of a book called Eusebius, Church History. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
Eusebius?
Yep, Eusebius. Some people have accused him of fictionalizing a lot of history. You know, but I don't know. But there was a particularly interesting story. He has a lot of stories of martyrs in the first 300 years. One of which was an older lady who, you know, confessed to be a Christian, which was a death sentence. And And basically your reward, they call it the crown, the trophy, is your martyrdom and your death. And so during what would normally be a normal Colosseum spectacle, instead they hung her from a cross upside down.
Oh, wow.
And basically released wild beast to eat her while there was some other battle going on between gladiators. I don't know if they were fighting other animals or people, but they basically, because the wild animals would not eat her, they took courage to fight.
So can you give us a lowdown who Eusebius is?
He's some kind of Roman church historian. I don't, you know, I feel I kind of knew when I called in tonight that maybe I'd have to follow up with more information. But
I know that he's known to be sort of like the father of like the church. So like he sort of gathered the stories and basically I think he was trying to portray him a certain way and like
yeah,
you know
like
how,
irony.
You know how it goes with the. But then you got, like, you know, Constantine and the rest of the disciples deciding what the rest of the stories are. But he was a part of it, you know?
Yep.
Well, that's interesting.
I would say he's most influential to it.
Ian and I are also reading a book right now that talks about the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. And the book is more interesting than that because it just gives you a bunch of history of early Christianity. I had no idea that at the very beginning, like, the earliest, like, you know, 100 years after Jesus died, people were saying, like, it's just so crazy how these Christians, they're from all different walks of life, but they have the same belief, and they are voluntarily taking care of each other. Like, they would have funds and, you know, pull things together for each other voluntarily for, you know, older sick people or poor people, and they were doing all that stuff voluntarily, and it was shocking, like, Romans or, you know, people who weren't Christians that ran into them, they were like, what's up with these people? Like, they're really not selfish. And I just found that was really interesting because they don't normally teach you that, like, in anything you ever hear about that stuff. They talk about a lot of the killings, you know, whenever you hear about that kind of thing. But I thought it was really interesting that that was a successful little society. Well, many societies all over the, like, Roman kingdom, or whatever you call that, of voluntarious, kind of. Just mm-hmm. because they yeah. believed in Jesus's message of do unto others, and that's all the non-aggression principle is do unto others as you'd have them do
unto
others.
I almost, like, not to shun on religion or anything like that, but I think a lot of this that was happening, like, in Roman times with Christianity, it was just a trend. It's like Pokemon cards. It's like, we're kind of bored. Let's try this new thing. And literally, I think that's what has been going on for a long, long time.
Well, I just think it's cool that some people got inspired by Jesus's word to do something actually good, you know? Like, plenty
right.
of people got inspired by biblical texts to do bad things as well.
I like
know?
To say that no religion is wrong. It's just as long as it works for you and you're not killing people at the end of the day.
Well, thanks so much for the call, Tim. Yeah, there was one story in there about a woman named Perpetua in, Carthage. I'm not sure how to say that. It's like northern Africa. And she was like a young lady who just had a baby and she was married and she got sentenced to be ripped apart by beasts as well. And the story goes that, like, she was asked by her father, like, oh my gosh, please just renounce this. And she said, do you see that pot of water? How it can no longer change what it is, or no easier change what it is than I can change what I am. And then when the beasts were ripping her apart in the city, town, square, or whatever, she was, like, in euphoria. Like, she was being, like, I'm not saying this is true, I'm just saying that that's how the story goes.
Mm.
And it's just kind of an interesting story of sticking to your guns in situations. The last one he's told is a little bit just more awful. I mean, they're both awful, to be honest.
I know it's like a side note, but it just reminded me, but there's a very old Ouija board for sale.
Oh, my God.
But I told you the thing about Ouija boards.
What did you say?
Like, you probably want to have a new one because
oh, yeah.
it's been used before.
Oh,
that
yeah,
sort of
that's
thing.
So
this one seemed really old, like 60s. It's like the
Where
oldest
at?
Of the old. thrift store.
Oh, wow. Wow, if I owned a thrift store, I probably wouldn't take in an old Ouija board.
Yeah, but they got it. That's the place crazy. Is haunted.
Wow.
The Salvation Army.
Yeah, my sister and I made a Ouija board once, but it didn't really work for us, and then we burned it. So I think that's why nothing bad came of it. We made it ourselves on the back of like a
poster board, right?
Yeah, somebody had made some protest sign that it just seemed kind of irrelevant at this point. Like, I think it had something to do with COVID. So I was like, okay. So I made a Ouija board on the back of it. It didn't really work. Yeah.
Yeah, we played with a Ouija board when I was a teenager. And, you know, I just thought my cousin was moving around and he thought I was moving it around.
Whoa.
You know, so.
That's crazy.
But, I mean, and it was sort of not really making any sense, you know, what it was saying or doing.
I've never seen it make sense. I think it's easy to ask, like, yes or no questions, just so maybe it'll give you some sort of reading.
And then my grandmother's like, what is this? And she actually burnt it. She went crazy when she saw it. She just started, like...
Oh, yeah.
I might have even gotten, like, a spanking over that.
Yeah.
All of us did. Even my brother, who had nothing to do with it, he got a beating, too.
Can't believe him.
Pretty sure.
Wow.
But she was, like, really adamant about not, you know, not playing with that thing. She's like, it's going to bring in spirits. And
my parents would not ever allow that either, and that's why I never did it as a kid, so I did it, like, a couple months ago. But, I don't know. I kind of do think that it could be a bad thing, because, like, you could, like, get in communication with just a low-level, stupid spirit, and then start believing it that, like, they always want to say they're God, don't they? Like, when you actually start communicating with things, like, using a spirit box, they always start saying that they're God, and
they're
it's so
God.
Creepy. Yeah. They're like, I'm God.
I don't know, I've never had communication that I'm aware of with a spirit, so...
A spirit box is just a radio that is rigged up to where it's nonstop scanning, and... That's probably the easiest way to do it. 603-283-6160. And if you want to bring up whatever's on your mind, you can. That's the number to call. But continuing on here, we have more about this story about Mickey Mouse. He's going to soon be out of copyright. He's 95 years or whatever. It says that ever since Mickey Mouse's first appearance in the 1928 short film Steamboat Willie, people have associated the character with Disney's stories, experiences, and authentic products, a Disney spokesperson said in a statement to the Associated Press. That will not change when the copyright in the Steamboat Willie film expires. And that's such a good point. Like, people are going to think about Disney every time they see it.
Yeah, and, you know, I look at it as people are not going to make a product that Disney had already made. Hmm. They're going to make products that maybe people want that Disney didn't make, right? Like, so I can just imagine, like, someone getting a custom necklace, and it's Steamboat Willie, you know, Mickey Mouse on a boat, right? Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine, like, Disney going after that jeweler for making this necklace for somebody.
I'm sure they would.
It'd be so silly.
Like, after January 1st, I guess they can't, but I want to get into the asterisks. They said.
But it'd be so silly if they did. Imagine if they're so petty and, like, they're wasting their time. And, you know, anyways.
I feel like that is one industry where you'll see things and you'll be like, I bet they didn't, like, get copyright requests for that because, like, there's, like, jewelers in mall kiosks and they're selling, like, a whole bunch of different...
They usually don't go after the small guys.
Yeah, exactly.
The small fries doing the stuff. Like, there's airbrushers that do all kinds of Disney characters all day.
Yeah.
But they're not going to go after them. They're going to go after the one that, like, that produced it for every Walmart. You know, that's the one they're going after.
Another thing I was going to say is people should use cryptocurrency logos if they want to make, because that's not copyrighted. Like, you can make t-shirts with Bitcoin, whatever, on it, and you'll probably sell it because it's already got this brand behind it. And,
right.
Like, if I was going to make a t-shirt brand or necklaces, like you said, I would try that because lots of people would want it, and there's not copyright. No one owns Bitcoin or the logo or anything, so I think you could do that pretty
I'm going to do Mickey Mouse's face with Bitcoin, like, signs in his eyes.
Bitcoin
chain. Sign. Yeah, Bitcoin chain, Bitcoin signs in his eyes. Instead of dollar signs, Bitcoin signs. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. Well, it says, current artists and creators will be able to make use of Mickey, but with major limits. It is only the more mischievous, rat-like, non-speaking boat captain in Steamboat Willie that has become public. Wait, what?
Why they say he was rat-like?
It was kind of weird, yeah.
It just seems like that is just they're taking a punch at him for no reason.
I feel like I haven't seen the actual video. Just I've seen like clips of it, like in references, you know. Exactly.
It's just whistling Mickey. It's
yeah.
Like, you're not even saying.
But so I'm not really sure what he means. Like, but it's only the rat-like one. Like, is there another Mickey in the episode? Oh, no. It says, more modern versions of Mickey will remain unaffected. But yeah, we already knew that. The more modern versions of Mickey will remain unaffected by the expiration of the Steamboat Willie copyright, and Mickey will continue to play a leading role as a global ambassador for the Walt Disney Company in our storytelling theme park attractions and merchandise, Disney's statement said. Not every feature or personality trait a character displays is necessarily copyrightable, however, and courts could be busy in the coming years determining what's inside and outside of Disney's ownership. Wow, what a dumb thing people waste their time on.
Disney is like, they're trying to save something that doesn't need to be saved. Like,
right.
We all know it's Disney, and it's always going to be known as Disney. No one's going to be stealing their junk cartoon.
Right. If anything, that like what we're saying, I think that if somebody made, you know, a bunch of merchandise with Steamboat Willie on it, it kind of is advertisement for Disney. Like, people see that,
yeah,
and they're like, oh, I want to watch Sleeping Beauty now.
Like, that's like one of my favorite rappers, Immortal Technique. He's all about freedom and, like, you know, burn my CD and hand it out, right?
Nice,
and all that.
Yeah.
He didn't really want you to sell and make a profit off of burning his CD. But, hang on, he had a show and someone outside was selling, like, their own version of a Immortal Technique shirt. So he didn't, like, totally rip off his, you know, his tour shirts. The guy was making his own shirts with Immortal Technique's face on it. And
he's like free.
They beat him up
him.
Though.
Really?
Immortal Technique beat the guy up.
Whoa!
And the crew beat him up.
Whoa!
And like Immortal Technique and a few of the guys got like arrested and like, you know, jailed and everything.
How stupid.
Yeah, I mean, like, the guys advertise it for you. Like,
yeah, literally.
You need a Immortal Technique
to get, essentially, if you tried selling unlicensed Grateful Dead merch at some kind of, you know, Grateful Dead show, except for it'd be men with badges, you know, beating you up and tasing you if you resisted, or, you know, putting you in prison. And,
are they famous for the same thing?
Well, not like, but the state's famous for enforcing that copyright.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I've often, you know, theory I've believed in years, for years, is the reason you're being charged in court for these victimless crimes is you're using copyright of the state, which is the all capital letters name and date of birth that's on all your slave documents.
They don't go after one-offs, like someone doing a tie-dye of the Grateful Dead skull. They're not going to go after you, but if you're mass-producing it.
They're kind of like hippies. They probably don't want anyone making profits at all. 603-283-6160 if you want to get in on the conversation. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.